Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. We ask you to visit our sponsors and supporters and just tell them you heard about them on the CCTA Wake Up Call. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Stephen Reed.
Ashley Reed. Pat Park.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
All right, so we got to figure out where we're going to go.
We're going to start with our special guests and talk about their organization and what they support and how things work. So, Steve, take it away.
Okay. Well, the name of my organization is Act Right USA. We started as a small community group out of a little bit of frustration with our local party, and we decided that we wanted to do it ourselves. And we're big on education. We work within about 30 different national groups that we are connected to, that we talk with and get information from. We share that with our members. We don't require anybody to have to come to a meeting. It's just that as long as they let us keep them in the loop on what's going on around them. This way they don't have to do it as much work.
Now, quickly, just the education you're talking about is about the founding of our country and the basis of our country.
We do the biblical citizenship classes. We teach people how to do Robert's Rules so that when they go to a meeting, it can be productive. We've worked hand in hand with FreedomWorks when they were around. We used to get flown up to D.C. and they would train us on how to handle going to a meeting at the Board of Education or commissioners. And it was helpful. It's helpful for people to know what's going on and how to perform and what to look for and how to interact at a meeting. So we started that way. We just keep growing. We've always been a word of mouth kind of thing. But recently we went from Act Right of North Carolina to Act Right USA because we wanted to go more in a bigger way throughout the state and throughout the country.
Where do you meet?
We meet in Jacksonville, North Carolina. We have a place, it's in the Liberty Library building, 3671 New Bern Highway. And we meet on the third Sunday of the month usually, unless there's a holiday going on, like this month was Father's Day.
And what time?
3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's a Sunday afternoon and it's always a potluck. So we do that because we feel if you share a meal together, that brings people closer together. And I try to keep it as brief as I can on my end of things. I share what's come across my desk, and then I talk to them about their concerns, and we try to put out voter guides when voting is around.
What's your membership look like?
How many? Between 400 and 500.
Wow.
People. We try to, like I said, they don't all show up for a meeting.
Right.
Usually it's a steady range of about 100 people, but there's like 30 to 50 that show up for the meeting.
The core.
But they rotate.
The core, yeah.
Yeah, like, I feel like life gets in the way sometimes, and I try not to make people feel bad for that.
What is your location again where you meet?
3671 New Bern Highway in Jacksonville.
And the name of the building?
Liberty Library. It's actually, my wife does a co-op there, and we help kids that are, homeschooling.
Oh.
And she does tutoring and stuff like that, and then we use the same building for our meetings.
We will be transitioning to also Google Meets to make it an easier process to be a part of the meetings.
Is that like Zoom?
Yeah. It's actually
It's a little bit more friendly.
Easier platform.
Okay.
Than Zoom is, and we're going to be doing that so that we can. Someone had brought up the fact that if they live in another county, how do they get to have a meeting?
Right.
And I was like, well, this might be a way that we could do it.
Right.
And that it makes it easier on people. And we're going to go with the Google meeting because it's a little easier.
Okay. Sounds good.
Great.
Manage. And one of the reasons I got in touch was that I wanted to talk about we're having a big event for the 250th, the Patriot Mega Summit in Moorhead City on July 18th, which happens to be Ashley's birthday.
It's my birthday.
I don't know how that happened.
Too.
All the best people are born on that day. So I'll be emceeing it.
As you can tell, she's shy too. And we're going to have about somewhere between 20 and 30 speakers. We're going to have a comedian. We're going to have music. We're going to, you know, be giving a lot of stuff away.
Vendors, right?
Yeah, we're going to have vendors. Well. All the people that are speaking are going to have vendor tables as well, so that people in between could go and sit down and talk with them and ask some questions and get to know them a little bit. Because I feel like when you go to things, like I've gone to GOP events and they've had great speakers, but then I don't get to talk to them and I have questions or I have something I would like to share with them.
How much are tickets?
Tickets are $45, but if anybody can't get a ticket, let's say they can't afford it, or if someone's a veteran, if they contact me, I will give them a free ticket. That's just awesome. The way I've been going around.
veteran, right there.
Yes.
And
veteran.
And there.
Right.
Yeah.
Veteran.
Veteran.
Yeah.
Well, we love the veterans. We have a lot of veterans in our group.
Now, looking at the card, again, the Crystal Coast Civic Center. Now, folks, location is right across from L's Drive-In.
Absolutely.
For anybody that needs directions.
You got to say hi to the seagulls.
Yeah. Jonathan Livingston Seagull. Yeah. Katie Seagull.
I love that commercial. That's I even went in there and I talked to the guy. I love your commercial.
Oh, he's like,
are you still on? I'm like, you're still on.
That's my favorite one.
It's a great location for the event. I think that it's going to exemplify, you know, the best things of the last 250 years that we have been a strong country. And have fun. It's about truly celebrating. We're not, you know, making an event to perpetuate anybody above anybody else to their, you know, needs and what they're trying to accomplish and their, you know, personal or professional goals. It's truly to celebrate. And I think that's like the key of that event is we deserve to celebrate these 250 years.
Are there any nationally known speakers or are they local people?
Mostly local. Alan Mashburn is going to be there.
Yeah, we know him.
We have Don Brown is coming.
We know him.
I'm working on a few other people that I'm not going to mention.
Okay. Those are two good ones.
Yeah.
Very good.
I just want to mention while we're talking about the 250th anniversary and how much we need to appreciate the fact that we're still here. Has anybody been watching the videos of the visitors from Europe
for
the soccer matches?
Funny.
Who tend to appreciate us more than we appreciate ourselves.
Ranch salad dressing.
Yeah. I really love it.
I know. Yeah. We need it in Europe.
Yeah.
And those Scottish guys, they're drinking all the beer.
Well, they drank Boston Dry.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, and then they're putting the road cones on the statues, which is evidently a Scottish thing.
It is two prior football players for the Patriots, I believe, Gronkowski and Edelman, went on to one of those, and they were wearing their kilts, and they put a cone on top, took pictures with a bunch of people. They were having a grand old time.
That sounds like Gronk.
Yeah,
that's
that definitely does. But, I mean, we take so much for granted, and there was either an Englishman or an Australian, I don't know which, who walked into Buc-ee's. Now, that was, and he looks at the gas pipes and he's, or the gas pumps and says, what are you fueling, an aircraft carrier?
I wonder what he said when he went into the bathrooms. Those things are perfect. Love their bathrooms. They're actually world famous bathrooms.
Like, well, they're so clean.
One of the videos, the guy said the bathrooms in America are cleaner than the one I have at home.
That's scary. That's a little scary.
But, I mean, we take this so much for granted. Mm-hmm. And I think we're having a lesson in things that we need to appreciate. And I love there was a guy who was trying Texas barbecued ribs, and he couldn't believe the size of them, and things like that.
He was also trying them with a knife and fork.
Yeah.
And the person said, put that down and eat them with your fingers.
Yeah. It's an experience. It's an absolute experience.
But you know what? I think it's good for our country, because it reminds us of how lucky we are.
Very much so.
And we take it for granted, or at least some do, and all of us to some extent.
And that's kind of like the idea behind our event, too, is that we want people to come and have fun. I want people to walk out going, that was really cool. I learned something.
And made new friends.
And made new friends, absolutely. And, you know, I am a conservative at heart, and I think the conservative people need to mingle a little bit. We need to get out there. How else are you going to bring people into the anything that you're doing if you don't talk to each other and have a good, you know, like good conversation? And I feel like the people that I'm having come to the event are going to speak about things from their heart.
Well, I think also, and I believe you're sort of alluding to it, that as conservatives, we're willing to dialogue over disagreements, mm-hmm. and just understand our disagreements are okay to talk about. We don't have to poo-poo anybody. We don't have to say, oh, you're an excluded class. No, we're willing to talk to each other.
I'm actually living through that right now, opening up Club America Onslow County. So Club America Onslow County is a sector of TPUSA.
It's Turning Point.
Yes, Turning Point USA. And it's essentially just geared towards high school and middle school students to start to kind of spread their wings a little bit, understand, you know, the ins and outs of government a little bit more, get involved.
Leadership.
Also, like, I'm very keen on education to that. But when I brought about opening this this group up in Onslow County, and I've been putting it out on social media, hey, this is the group. I'm not slighting anybody or anything. I'm just, hey, here's the information. The pushback that I've gotten from people that, aren't conservative overall is very daunting. So it's been a learning experience how to deal with them in the best way possible.
One of the things that deeply concerns me about what's going on in our schools, the Advanced Placement U.S. History course uses the Howard
Zinn
history book, which is horrible. I have grandkids that are smart in North Carolina who have gone through that course. And one of them it ruined slightly. One of them I don't think it hit. But, I mean, we've got to look at what's being taught in our schools.
But that was really ingenious for them to do that. You take the best and the brightest and indoctrinate them, and those are your leaders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was ingenious of them.
Well, that goes back to the whole thing where the Frankfurt School of Thought was brought to Columbia University and seeded throughout the top universities in America, which led the roots for the protests of the 60s, which got us where we are now. And I just want to make one comment about the visitors for the World Cup. When I heard the World Cup was coming here, I really didn't care, to be very honest about it. Now I'm impressed. I haven't watched it. I don't watch soccer. To me, it's like watching grass grow. But
I agree.
It's like watching golf.
But, well, golf at least has pretty scenery. But, I mean, I am so glad the soccer people are here. Because
the stadiums are pretty.
Their enthusiasm.
Folks, on that, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Round here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from round here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance, because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from round here.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? People in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters, and we're glad you're staying with us, and hopefully you're enjoying our dialogue. And Ashley, you were going to take us in a different direction?
A little bit. I just wanted to give
feel the pressure.
Clarification on Club America Onslow County. When it comes to this organization, I am not running it. I am a facilitator. So actually, the children get to really guide the entire club and what they want to accomplish. So with that, we've had a lot of members kind of go out and communicate with me how they want more education. So recently we did have someone come in and do a Second Amendment explanation to them so they could understand what it was all about and overall gun safety, which I think is extremely important in this day and age. And so did the children.
Yep. You mentioned during one of our breaks that you were putting out information about this TPUSA chapter and that you were getting a lot of ugly pushback that
yes.
concerned you. And my question is, was that pushback coming back from parents or kids that you were targeting for membership?
To be honest, it was all parents.
Yeah.
Not one single student was disrespectful to me. If anything, they wanted to understand more about what the club was, but it was parents, and they were making some very rude, disrespectful, and just sad comments to me. So, but I handled it with grace and glory, as you knew you should.
Leave it up to God, right?
I just want to comment. North Carolina has a bit of a problem with some of its schools, and there was a lawsuit recently brought by a North Carolina high school student and her parents, because her school had a couple of rocks out front where the kids were allowed to paint
things.
Oh,
yeah, that one.
And she painted a patriotic message on one and something about Charlie Kirk on the other. Now, before she did this, she had asked permission from the school, and they said okay. But when she put her message up, they decided that it was not acceptable. They sent out a school-wide email accusing her of vandalism and said that law enforcement was conducting an investigation. And they got on the local news station as well. Again, this is Charlotte Mecklenburg. And the officials called the student out of class to write an official statement describing her actions and forced them to show her her phone logs. School officials never obtained permission from parents to go through her phone, nor did they inform the students or parents about their constitutional right to remain silent. So she and her parents sued the school, and the Alliance Defending Freedom got involved in the case, and they won the case, and she and her parents are given $95,000. Now, the ADF is a pro bono organization. They do not charge legal fees. Now, this child is, at this point, a rising senior. She's got a nice chunk in her college fund, and I hope she changes schools next year because she might be having a rough time.
By the way, I contribute monthly to the Alliance Defending Freedom.
And thank you for that, because
so I want to encourage
an example
yes,
where
I want to encourage people
the right
to do
thing.
That.
But, you know, if students don't know their First Amendment rights, they're not going to stand up for them. And that's what both of your organizations are teaching that. Mm-hmm. And that's important.
And it's funny. The starting of the Turning Point group that we did came out of the fact that the local schools in Onslow County aren't allowing Turning Point in to start a club. So it was our idea to go to the kids that are homeschooling, because they have every right to be involved with clubs as well, and start it with the kids from that, but also offer it up that kids from the local schools can join their club. So it was a way to get around all that and to develop a club in Onslow County, because the youth are what we need to, you know, we need to help them, guide them.
What are the names of the schools that the students that are in your club are from, so that maybe people that are listening would be encouraged that they wouldn't be the only one coming from their school?
So I personally don't keep track specifically of their schools, because that's
not a key.
Yeah, most are homeschooled. But I also don't want them to feel like oh, well, just because you're from this school, you're represented. Like, what's, I want it almost.
What's the age group?
So it's for high schoolers. So, you know, the general, you know, freshman to senior age. We are allowing for middle schoolers if they want to just have the education. It is really run by the high schoolers. And it's open to any school, any student in Onslow County.
It's just difficult for somebody to go and attend a meeting and not know anybody. Mm-hmm. Especially,
yeah.
You know, some of the younger ones.
We tell them, bring a friend. Yo. And if anybody contacts her, she said, you can bring whoever you want. Mostly the funny thing is that we have parents coming.
Yeah, so now it's a connection where the parents and the students are actually getting to bond over something together and continue that familial unit to grow something together. And it's been really beautiful to see.
And you're providing an antidote to the garbage they're being taught as American history.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
100%.
Most of them talk about how they're afraid to bring things up in school, mm-hmm. and afraid to reach out to their friends and let them know what they believe. And we're trying to tell them, you know, watch more of how Charlie Kirk approaches things. You know, watch some of his old videos. You'll see he isn't getting on anybody. He's creating a conversation.
Creating a dialogue.
A dialogue between the people.
One of the things, too, that I've been reading a lot about is the amount of money from Qatar that is coming into our education in terms of textbooks and what our kids are being taught in colleges and in high schools. And Qatar is not our friend. I'm sorry, they're mm-hmm. not. They are the second largest funder of terrorism. Iran is the first. And this is something we need to be aware of, and we need to take a really good look at what our textbooks are teaching our kids. And to go back to the soccer people coming here have taught us a lot about appreciating America.
Well, I wanted to comment about Howard Zinn. When I was teaching criminal justice over at ECU, I had a student. He was a veteran. He had just gotten out of the service. He was taking criminal justice. And I noticed reading his papers that he had all these anti-capitalism attitudes, anti our government. And so I talked to him about that because he was really bright and I wanted to encourage him down the right path. And I told him one of the books that I'd read in my life that really gave me a life path was Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged.
Mm-hmm. Who's and, John Galt?
Right, who yeah. is John Galt? And he said, I'll read it if you'll read Howard Zinn's A History of America. So I went and got a copy of Howard Zinn and read the first couple of pages. And it had the Indians standing in the reeds, and the way they were described was, you know, the poor indigenous peoples, the victims were standing there in the reeds watching the evil Europeans get off their boats. And I was like, okay, that's it for Howard Zinn. So, yeah, Howard Zinn, well, what a nightmare.
The thing that is so unfair about that, and again, we spent a lot of years in New England, so we got a lot of Massachusetts history, and the land that the Pilgrims settled on was not inhabited by any Indian tribe. That Indian tribe had been wiped out by the flu about 4 years before. That Indian tribe had been known for killing any white settlers that set foot on Massachusetts land. And there's a whole story, I'm not going to go into it, but there's a whole story about Samoset, who was the head of the Algonquin tribe in Maine, introducing the Pilgrims to Squanto because it was his tribe that had been wiped out while he was sold into slavery. And he was the one that helped them survive. And everybody got along for a really long time until some people got greedy.
By the way, we're recording the show on Wednesday. Yesterday, Tuesday, there was an election or there was some kind of vote down in, the Lumbee Indians. Mm. 21 locations they took the vote. 62% of the Lumbee Indians voted against gaming in the Lumbee tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not healthy.
Amen.
It's plain old not healthy.
That's good news, and there are people in the North Carolina legislature who need to hear that in spades.
Yeah, and I guess I want to, I don't want to distract from your main mission, but as you're learning and growing in Onslow, you know, it would be great, because it does seem like you've been able to get a foothold. So without distracting from that, I sure hope that, I think we can get some energy going in Craven County. I know Jones is in between us and Onslow, and sounds like Google Zoomish sort of things can happen and that sort of stuff. But I would sure hope that some connections can be made that would help your organization, but also engage people here in our area.
That, oh, 100%. So I am in touch on a regular basis with the regional person that is in charge with TPUSA. His name is Alex. And so for anybody who has reached out to me from other counties, one, they are welcome to still come to our meetings and get some understanding and information. But then I link them with Alex myself so that they can open their own.
We're talking about people getting in contact with you, but so are you comfortable telling people how to get in contact with you?
Yes. So luckily for me, being a little bit on the younger demographic, I'm millennial, to
now
be honest.
Now quit bragging.
To be a millennial,
Thirty-six is not that young.
I'm getting there.
She looks around
the
room.
I feel young. I certainly feel young these days, but we are on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, Club America Onslow County. We are on Instagram, and we are on TikTok. Again, it is ran by students. So there's a student, she's a great gal. She's been doing all the social media posts, and then I just monitor it. And, you know, if there's something extra I want to put out, I do. I also have an email address that I can provide. I just have to pull it up in a few moments or on the next segment.
That would be great.
Yeah, I can give you all that.
People a lot of times will have questions and not have the answer. So the contact info is great.
Yes, and I do put out my phone number to everyone, so if someone wants to call me or text me, that's fine as well.
And by the way, I also contribute monthly to TPUSA.
Yay, Pat.
So I want to, yes, because I'm so rich, you know, I just got to give it away.
But you know, Pat, you're right. But if you have the opportunity, please contribute to those organizations. They serve a great purpose, and they're not wasting the funds.
Yeah,
right. Absolutely.
Tunnel to Towers.
And the pregnancy centers.
And the pregnancy centers.
Folks, on that, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. Where are we going? Ashley, again, yeah. you're on the hook.
Oh boy, no, the pressure's on. So there was a point of clarification we were just talking about during our break, because Pat does provide, you know, some funds when she can to these great, you know, organizations. And I kind of thought in my head, you know, maybe there should be clarification on the fact that you don't have to have a lot to give, you know, even if it's $5, $2, you know, once a month, every other month. These organizations aren't looking to take all your money away and have it so that you're living in a shoebox. They just are asking for any help. And I believe that giving, even in small amounts, is better than not giving at all. And as a giver myself, that's why, you know, for Club America, I don't require funds from any of the students or the families. It's essentially self-funded. And as time goes on, we can get grants from TPUSA. But right now, it's, you know, keep the wheels rolling.
Yeah, I give a lot of money on GiveSendGo to, like, any of the J6 defendants that had medical problems, housing problems, whatever. I give to them, give to people that lose their job over First Amendment or whatever, stuff like that. And I only give $25, but I give when I see it. And I think there's nothing better than sharing your bounty.
You know, the irony, Pat, you're talking about the giving, and we're giving to organizations that we see the results that they've got. And from our government, our federal government, with going back to DOGE or whatever else, where they exposed so many areas where our government was giving without any accountability at all. And all of a sudden, when you have accountability, you know, so much of that was fraud. But we're looking at organizations that we see the results and the actions that are happening.
And the amount of fraud that's been exposed has been astronomical. Mm. Astronomical. I mean, I know that even with my group, Act Right, we take donations from our members, but we don't push for donations. And that's why I'm offering the tickets for free if someone can't afford it. We appreciate it if you can buy a ticket, but I really rather have the people there and enjoying it. And it's about them learning about not only our country, but about our group and about what we do. And we hope we provide a service to people.
Well, the good news about the government fraud is that people are starting to wind up going to jail.
Mm-hmm. About time.
And, you know, I have been screaming, and a lot of us have been screaming for a while, let's get out the orange jumpsuits. Well, it looks like the orange jumpsuits are coming out.
Well, listen, if you give money to the J6 people, excuse me, you can stick your thumb in Tom Tillis's eye.
So at your event, is there going to be food or food trucks? Or
We are going to be just doing drinks and snacks for everybody because it's going to be from 1 to 7.
Yeah.
And so we're missing lunch. And if we put a lot of money into the food, then it makes it.
Then you don't have
something
enough money for anything else.
Yeah, I don't have room for other things. And also the place, the Civic Center, they had some really crazy kind of designs on how you pay for things.
Okay.
And they wanted 15% of whatever if we got someone that catered it.
Like a food truck or whatever.
Well, food trucks, they wanted $400 just to have the food trucks there. A kitchen use fee, even though they don't use the kitchen.
Okay.
So I don't really understand that.
And by the way, Elle's is across the street.
Yeah, Elle's. Right. I highly recommend Elle's Driving. Get this shrimp burger. It's delicious.
I just want to make sure. I think we kind of interjected on your comments, so I hopefully you can bring home your other points.
The one thing that I was hearing before about the fraud, and I want to say, like, as a veteran, it's heartbreaking because I live and deal with the VA on a daily basis, and yet we're throwing millions, billions of dollars to other countries. Meanwhile, I have friends that are homeless that have issues with their amputations. They're not able to get the care they need, the medications they need in time and fashion. I mean, just for me to be able to go to my doctors on a weekly basis has been a rigmarole of a situation, to the point where my mental health is always in question, and I can see other veterans having that issue. And I think we need to start looking inward and helping those who help keep this country as beautiful, as strong, and as present as it is. Going to other countries and giving them all this money so that they can have the best of the best, when I see struggle on a daily basis, it cannot continue this way. At the end of the day, when the stuff hits the fan, the veterans will come out. We will be present, and we will defend our country, even if we haven't served in 5, 10, 20, 40 years. Why aren't we being taken care of? When we gave that oath, not once, but multiple times, and we got the training, and we're there, and we're sticking up, and we're proud of our country, but we're being completely thrown to the wolves all the time.
Yeah, anybody that serves the country as not only our military, but also our police, firefighters, they all deserve our love and respect. And I really, like Tunnel to Towers, I try to give to them on a regular basis as well.
I don't know who said it, but I love the quote of, why are we sending money overseas, paying countries to hate us when they could hate us for free?
That's true.
I mean, it really does get a little wild.
When do they start paying us?
Right.
That's my question. We've been paying out to other people. I'm pretty sure when World War II ended, Germany owed behind load of to us, right?
Mm-hmm. I think when we start shipping ranch dressing over there, they may start.
I know, it's always coming down
now
to
that
ranch
we know
dressing.
That there's a market for it.
Yeah.
And we also have found out, talking about fraud, that USAID was nothing more than a money laundering operation. Mm-hmm. And thank God that has been shut down.
It smelled sneaky from the moment it was put out there.
Yes.
Well, it's still not totally shut down. We still have half of the Congress that still wants it back. So.
Well, I'm still trying to understand where any foreign aid is allowable under our Constitution. When we look at the billions and billions of dollars that we give to countries that hate us.
Mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying, but I look at, like, the end of World War II, when Europe was in danger of starvation, and we went to the Mormons because they have a thing in their religion that says they have to have 6 months to a year of food supplies. And Harry Truman said to them, are you willing to give your food supplies to Europe so that they don't starve? Now, I think that was very valid in terms of foreign aid. We kept people from starving. We did something good. But it seems to me that since then, we've kind of gotten off the deep end. I think sometimes it's needed in terms of if there's an earthquake somewhere or something like that, and we go in to help, I think that's good. But I think just throwing money at countries for no apparent reason, where there's tyranny and it stays at the corruption level and never gets to the people.
Well, a great example is when we had the hurricane that hit more western North Carolina. Mm-hmm. What was it, a year or two back?
Helene.
Helene. People were stuck with no way out, no nothing, for weeks. And meanwhile, when things happen elsewhere, there's boots on ground in a moment's notice. And I'm like, these people were getting told by major organizations that are supposed to help them, we're not going to help you. Oh, put in this application. How can I put in this application? I have no power. I have no Wi-Fi. I have no nothing. How am I supposed to do this?
Just to touch on this, my group has a standing order that if we had gotten hit with a hurricane or any kind of disaster like that, we meet the day after the rain starts at our place to evaluate each other's needs, and we help each other. It's about community, and I wanted to make it like the way I grew up, was when you went outside, if my dad was working on a car, the guy down the block was, hey, Bob, what do you need? You need a hand with that? Yeah, sure, come on over. People helped each other, and we got too far away from that. And if we're going to be good Christians, we need to do that kind of stuff. We need to look out for each other and work together. And that's something I really make that part of our who we are.
That kind of goes back to what Mary said with they went to the Mormons. The Mormon was the church. The church used to be there as the neighbor, as the helping hand. People have turned to the government as God and for the answer to everything. And what you said about Hurricane Helene and the people needing help, what foreign country has ever offered to help us in a natural disaster?
And the people who came in were the Amish.
Right, and they tried to shut the Amish down because they weren't building to code when they were just trying to give you shelter.
Yeah.
So, and let's face it, the churches do a better job with the money.
That's my point. And families also. The government has pretty much destroyed the nuclear family in some minority communities because there's a benefit to not being married.
Yeah, that's true.
How many people do you know, just for another example, a pregnancy where the couple is living together, but they're not married, and the woman gets pregnant? So since they're not married, she can't be on the partner's insurance. She's maybe not working or have insurance. So she goes and gets on Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of getting married, instead of being the family, instead of being responsible.
Well, you know, we just went through Father's Day just a few days ago. And apparently 40% of the children have no idea who their father is.
And yet, if you go back to the 1960s, before Johnson's War on Poverty, the intact family rate in Harlem, New York, was about 90-something percent. It's not anywhere near that now.
Not even close.
The war on poverty destroyed the black family and then the white family. The government has not been helpful.
Well, we have a lot of foreign countries that are actively trying to take and destroy our country little by little from the inside.
Yes.
And that's why I'm saying we have to start doing what we can. And you know, I had some people in my group say, yo, I don't want to be involved with politics. I don't want to be involved with... I said, look, the fight is never over. There is always going to be someone trying to take away what we have. And you have to always be involved. You have to always go vote. You have to always have your eyes open and your ears open. So I think you can't ever get comfortable.
You know, Steve, to your point there, I think one of the problems with conservatives is conservatives just want to be left alone.
Mm-hmm.
And we,
but it's to our detriment.
We look at the opposite where the other side wants to always change us.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call. Thanks for listening.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said E70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at E70 Pond, slam bam, full of firearms. New guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at E70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If E70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, E70 Pond will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than E70 Pond. Of course, E70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. E70 Pond, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Round here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from round here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance, because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from round here.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. Mary, you're going to take us everywhere.
Okay. I'm going to start out with crude oil prices, which today are around $70 a barrel. Oil is flowing through the Strait of Hormuz to some degree. I don't know. Iran keeps saying they've closed it. We keep saying we've opened it. They're still trying to clear out the mines. And there is a memorandum of understanding that I don't think anybody is totally happy with, but seems to be, might be a path forward. And there might be a lot of things there that we don't know about. So I'm looking for comments from around the table about the memorandum.
I think Trump has given them the opportunity to be the adult, to be an adult. But he's given them enough rope to hang themselves.
And I believe, remember, he's dealing with two different agencies. He's dealing with somebody that says that they're political leaders. And he's also dealing with the IRGC that says we're going to do it our way. So he's trying to, like you said, he's giving them the rope to say, we're offering this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You have the opportunity.
If they're smart, they'll take them up on it.
Yeah.
Kim?
Two things concern me about it. One, I'm uncomfortable with the relationship between Israel and us about it, number one. Number two, I'm concerned that it is a known fact we can't trust Iran, and I'm concerned that they're going to use the 60 days of negotiation to rearm. And what have we gained in the meantime? And they play the long game, and I'm concerned that Iran is looking at keeping this country in chaos as long as possible, knowing it will affect the midterm elections that we have coming up.
Mm-hmm. You're looking at two principles there, two Islamic principles. One is called hudna, which means declaring a truce while you rearm. And the other one is called taqiyya, which means it's a tenet of Islam that says it's okay to lie to the infidels as long as it improves the position of Islam. And what you're saying about Israel has to do with Hezbollah. And I've noticed one of our news articles on our sheet, we get a cheat sheet, guys. Israel has uncovered a massive tunnel network in southern Lebanon. Hezbollah is funded by Iran. We have cut down Iran's money, and unfortunately, with their sanctions lifted, they're going to be getting money again. I don't think Israel has a choice but destroy Hezbollah, because Hezbollah during this whole time has been lobbing rockets into Israel. And, you know, they're crazy if they sit there and don't fight back. So,
Mary, on that point, when you say Israel has to destroy Hezbollah, I don't think many of the Arab countries are going to interfere with Israel destroying Hezbollah.
No, I think Iran and Hezbollah and Hamas and the Houthis have become like the plague to the other Arab countries. I think a lot of the Arab countries are tired of the constant war and are looking for peace. I don't trust Qatar because of their past actions, but I think we're almost at the point where we can trust the Saudis. I'm not sure.
Well, I think Iran has done a great job of putting that conflict of Hezbollah on Israel. We got to put the Hezbollah part of it on Iran and say, you own that. If you don't get that straight, we don't have anything with you, because they're playing the game back towards us. I do believe I got concerns about how nebulous some of the things is, or not real clear on the memorandum of understanding. On the other hand, we have them, and I believe this, others here might not, we have them on their knees.
That's true.
We've got our foot on their neck, and they can say the strait's not open, and when you put 110 vessels through there in a day, who's lying, who's telling the truth? Right. So I feel good about where we're at. This approach is not comfortable for me, but I think it's the only way to get to the end game.
I agree.
I think the only way to get to the end game is to bomb the crap out of them. I think the MOU is a crap sandwich. I think we've been suckered. I am very disappointed in Mr. Trump because he keeps spinning these scenarios for, oh, they're going to sign for 2 weeks. They're on their knees begging for an agreement. The straits are open. Iran says, no, they're not. They're not going to have nuclear weapons. Yes, we are. There's no support for the MOU here in America. Americans just want it to end.
So I just don't know that going over there and decimating their country completely is a great end game for us.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to interject with this. One, I don't think Trump really wants to bomb the heck out of their country because he don't want to punish the people for what their leaders are doing.
Right.
And I see that. The money that's being Iran is taking in, I heard today clarified through a post that Trump had put on Truth Social that money we are still in control of.
Right.
And he is making it be spent on food for the Iranian people.
And medical supplies.
So it's not like they're taking money and they're going to get money to go fund what they want and build back up. I don't think that's what's going on. I think he's got a very good balancing act that he has to do.
Right.
And Iran, their leadership is divided in so many different ways.
Well, they're on the third level.
They don't know what each other are doing, and nobody will ever agree in that group. No, I don't think they'll ever agree.
And one of the interesting parts of this that absolutely cracks me up is a number of the Arab oil companies are building oil pipelines that avoid the Strait of Hormuz.
Right.
And there was talk, I don't know if this will happen, but that one of the countries was talking about building an oil pipeline directly into Israel to supply Israel with oil. So I think the whole complexion of the Middle East is changing. I'm not quite sure who we can trust and who we can't trust, but I think generally we're moving in a good direction.
Folks, I just want to add, as you can tell, there is no consensus at this table right now. So just understand, you folks have to go out and do your own research on this stuff, too. Don't believe the news.
Exactly. I do want to make a comment about Saudi Arabia. There was a big ruckus a number of years ago about someone who was killed, murdered, essentially, by
Khashoggi.
Yeah.
The so-called journalist.
He wasn't a journalist. He was a member of the Muslim Brotherhood working to overthrow the government of Saudi Arabia, which is why he got killed.
You mean chopped in pieces?
Yeah.
He's resting in pieces.
Yes.
But the American press didn't tell you who he actually was, because what the Muslim Brotherhood was doing, when they had the Arab Spring, their goal was to take over Egypt, Libya, and the the countries that were ruled by dictators, and then go after the House of Saud and the countries that were ruled by, quote, yes, royalty, unquote.
And Obama's policies were the kickoff point for the Arabic Spring.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Obama's,
thank you, Mr. Obama.
Obama's dream was to make Iran the dominant force in the Middle East, which is why he gave them pallets of money and other stuff that he did. And Trump has decided that that is not the way to peace and is realigning the Middle East. And I think that when we get done, it's going to be good. I don't totally agree with you, Pat, but I do think, I am reminded that the way we won with Japan and Germany was to destroy them and get a surrender. And I don't know if we'll get a surrender from Iran. So in that sense, I agree with
you.
Not
with just air power, we won't.
I want to go back to the trust issue. We can't trust Iran. We have had prior treaties with them. They obviously had more military equipment and more uranium and nuclear capabilities than we were aware of.
That's true.
And the last treaty that they had that was supposed to allow international investigators in to monitor their uranium, that was all a lie. The tunnels that they had where they had weapons, and they're still, they hadn't run out of weapons yet. They're
no, and
still.
They told us that the range on their missiles was only a couple of hundred miles. And then they missile attacked, what it was, Diego Garcia, which showed that they could reach Europe. So they've lied all the way along.
But I want to say that I'm not for bombing, quote, the people. But I am for bombing the oil refinery, which will affect their money. And then, yes, Mary, maybe we go into with the people with humanitarian aid. But as far as what this MOU, I'm with Pat. I think they're blowing smoke up our our wahoos, and they're hoping that because we as Americans are worried about world image, and we always want to be the peacemaker, and we always want to be the good guy, and we've been the world police for how long? And look at the mess we're in with in the United Nations and how they don't support us in all this stuff. I think that the only way to end it is to make them surrender.
We also should all keep in mind during the last president being in was where we made ourselves most vulnerable. We are being looked at 24/7, not just by the Middle East, but by the rest of the world.
China,
and we
North
are
Korea.
Not untouchable. We are very lucky that it's been very long stretches of time between when things have happened on our soil, but we need to prepare and we need to be cognizant and more aware, not just like every single day, but I mean, in every way, every day that we do things to perpetuate throughout the world our presence, we can't just be about the Middle East. Someone else is looking out to hit us at all times.
I agree.
And while this is, you know, kind of in a ceasefire mode, we're not sitting back. I mean, Rubio is in there building relationships with these folks in that area to try to help with controlling it longer term.
We also don't know what role Mossad is playing in Iran. We don't know what Israel has infiltrated, what they're doing. I mean, you know, they do things we don't.
Well, we don't know who the leader is. Who do we know who we're negotiating with? And who do we know what, if the leader is the...
We don't even know if he's alive. Nobody's seen him.
But we have no idea who we're negotiating with or if the Republican Guard is going to honor whatever this leader,
right,
so-called leader, says.
That's true.
I just want to say that I think we got to give Trump a chance, a trust, to trust him. He's done amazingly so far. And we got to really put it in perspective as this has only been a couple months. This is really... I mean, think about how long the Vietnam War went on, has the Afghan War. This has been a very short period of time, and I think Trump knows all those things.
I don't look at it as a short period of time. I think it's been 47 years.
Well, I mean, short time within the parameters of him actually doing
short time of bombing the crap out of him.
Yeah.
Not long.
a short time of actually doing something about it, as opposed to all the other ones.
Okay.
Okay. Folks, on that, we're going to have to wrap the show up. And glad that you could stay with us. You guys have a great week. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.